Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this week about grandmothers. I have some wonderful grandmother stories, and I think that they will be of interest not only to the children who love their grandparents, but to us old folks. Those of us who have the privilege of being grandparents are certainly grateful for that. But I think there's something here for everybody. I'm going to read, first of all, from a little leaflet by a man named Cornelius Vanderbreggen. He's a Dutchman, and he has a ministry on both sides of the Atlantic. I met him many, many years ago when I was young. And he writes this: if one were to choose 1,000 Christians at random and have each one tell when he or she was born again, as many as 50% of them would probably testify that they had received the Lord Jesus before they became 10 years of age. About 30% of them would probably testify that they had heard and believed the gospel between their 11th and 15th year. Perhaps 10% of them would have been saved between 15 and 30. Relatively rare would be the individual saved in middle life or in old age. Surrender is a humiliating thing, even when it is surrender that brings life and peace. The Savior continues to call lovingly to older men and older women, though they have resisted His claims all their lives. Eternity is just one step ahead, the Savior pleads. Don't risk eternity without Me. A deaf ear, a haughty shrug of the shoulders, the last sigh on earth, and then the blackness of darkness forever. At 99, Grandmother was hale, hearty, and still resisting capture. As she approached the 100 mark with a certain exuberant anticipation and breathless awe, her life continued without any really important change of pace or custom. Tante Gerarda, and Tante is the Dutch or German word for aunt, Tante Gerarda was no longer in the home since she had seen the wisdom of investing her youthful 60s in gainful employment so that she would be cared for in her old age. Tante Marie was still present, keeping the house spotless and scrubbing the wash to the tune of heavenly sunshine. Tante Adriana, halfway between a common 75 and a coveted 80, was now slower on her feet than before, but no less keen of mind or gifted of tongue. She still prepared 3 meals a day and waited hand and foot on Grandmother, who on her occasional Blue Mondays vigorously contended that her prime minister didn't know how to heat the milk for the coffee. This gave Grandmother an excuse for sneaking out to the kitchen to do it herself. My own portfolio of minister of recreation and surprises, and this is still Corny Vanderbreggen speaking, my own portfolio of minister of recreation and surprises had never been turned in, but it was a generally accepted fact that I could not devote much time to this cabinet function, inasmuch as I now lived rather far away. Whenever possible, I would run down the dike for a visit with Grandmother and her daughters. They enjoyed having company as much as ever. The minute I would come through the door, Tante Marie would rise to pour a cup of tea. Grandmother would put her book or her crocheting down, and as often as not would say, "Are we going to have a game of dominoes?" Well, the domino pieces were the same ones with which I had played as a boy of 6. They had survived thousands of handlings by successive generations of children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. So they played dominoes. And then Grandmother called out, "Come, Marie, I've been waiting for you for a half hour." This was Grandmother's regular call to worship on Sunday mornings. Finally, Tante Marie would bustle, powdered and perfumed, into the living room. grandmother would seat herself at the old piano and strike the first chord of a hymn. Grandmother would wince. Tante Marie would wince. Tante Adriana would wince. The cattle grazing in the nearby field would wince. Well, it doesn't sound as though grandmother knew how to play the old piano very well, does it? "Let's try again," grandmother would say reassuringly. "I'll play soft and you sing loud." It was the instrument, not the player, that was responsible for the eerie sounds which emanated from the superannuated jumble of keys and strings. There was simply no discernible relationship between cause and effect, between what went in and what came out. Yet grandmother had refused our every overture about helping her to obtain another piano. Like her, this piece of furniture had been present for decades. There would be no shadow of turning in her affection for it, even though she had to steel her 99-year-old nerves against its wheezings and raspings as she played. Callers came and callers went. Relatives appeared for all important birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. This esteemed friend became an invalid. That old friend disappeared from life's scene. Ill health paid its respects to this son-in-law or to that grandchild, but never visited grandmother. World news was continually in the center of grandmother's thoughts. She studiously read the daily papers. If a well-known daily printed in Amsterdam carried too many reports about international difficulties, grandmother, who was still imbued with her childhood teachings that men of goodwill would yet succeed in bringing peace on earth, threatened to cancel her subscription and start reading a small rural paper in the hope of finding better news. To all appearances, grandmother had an ideal life with no clouds at all to mar the sunset of life's day. However, there was one very serious matter which weighed on her heavily. "I must talk to Wim about that the next time he comes," she said to Tante Adriana. "But, Mother," the reply came, "you told him about that the last time, and he said that you were wrong." Grandmother's jaw stiffened. The impudence of her prime minister. Very well, she would be silent and wait for the next visit from her 76-year-old son, Wim. In due time, Wim arrived on his motorbike from Amsterdam. Not until Tante Adriana had gone out to the kitchen to make coffee did grandmother discuss the all-important subject with her son. "Wim, I've got to talk to you again about those electric bills from Leiden. I know that you looked at them once before, but I've checked them again since then, and I'm right. They let me pay the same bill twice. You've got to go speak to them. It won't do any good to write them a letter." Thereupon, grandmother produced a whole fistful of receipted bill stubs from the drawer of the table in front of her. She spread them out carefully until she had two September stubs next to each other. Then she glowed triumphantly and said, "Don't you see? I told you so." Wim began to explain things carefully, but grandmother hastily ended the conversation as she heard Tante Adriana coming down the hall with the coffee. Her closing remarks to Wim were, "Be sure to go see them and tell them what I've told you. It's clear that they're wrong. They know that I'm an old lady living here all by myself, and as long as they can get away with cheating me, they will continue to do it." Wim returned to Amsterdam, and the weighty matter was still unsolved. So I asked grandmother if I could be of help, perhaps by putting in a short period of service as Minister of Finance. I could now somehow make up for my lack of activity as Minister of Recreation and Surprises. Grandmother was thrilled with my offer. She again took all of the receipts out of the drawer and laid them on the table. Some of the stubs were 6 or 7 years old. We worked together, sorting carefully until we had the receipts for each year in a separate pile. It was clear at one glance that there were no duplicates. However, grandmother fished out the September receipts for 2 different years and held them up before me. "Do you see?" she said. "Here they are." "Yes, grandmother, but they are from 2 different years. This one is from 1948, and this one from 1954. "But they're both in the same month." "But it's the same month in 2 different years, grandmother." That's exactly what I said, Grandmother purred. They've let me pay that bill twice. And Wim and Adriana don't even understand. The Prime Minister winked at the Minister of Finance. The Minister of Finance winked at the Prime Minister. The head of the nation gazed out the window in the direction of the white sailboat scudding across the surface of the lake. Undoubtedly, she was thinking that the young upstarts who so sincerely tried to help her were in need of much more experience. In May of 1954, the burgomaster of our village informed Grandmother that she was to receive a visit from the Queen of the Netherlands. Queen Juliana was going to spend 3 days in the lower Rhine area of Holland. She would be passing through our village, and Grandmother should be prepared to be greeted by this famous and beloved sovereign. When the much-anticipated day arrived, quite a few of Grandmother's relatives arrived with it in order to be on hand for that thrilling occasion. Typical Dutch weather also arrived. A rip-snorting wind caused hundreds of national flags to dance all kinds of crazy dances. In the hour before the Queen's Cadillac stopped in front of Grandmother's house, dozens of friends of the family crossed the quaint little wooden bridge in order to obtain a strategic place from which to view the proceedings. It's a wonder that the little island did not sink beneath the weight of so many visitors. You are going to have to wait till tomorrow to hear the rest of the story of how this old Dutch grandmother met the Queen.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.